time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by myself, Brad Brood, and Kyle Lewis. And it is a hot summer July day, and it is free agency day. A day that was, Kyle, was it more than uneventful for the Flames?
Yeah, but I think that's exactly what you want.
I agree.
It was a busy, busy, very busy first day of free agency, but not for Calgary.
I was shocked. And we're going to get into this more, but I was shocked, like, how much, like, there's no money out there, and there was still just tons of stuff just going on, people signing this. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. Good news, Lou Cheech is no longer a Calgary Flames fan. I know that's, get that out of the way.
What's the first thing we're going to talk about?
What do you think of Peter Laimardius being done as a color commentator?
I have a lot of fond memories of him. I think he did a fantastic job. I love the way that he would announce goals. Like he had a great delivery, really good guy in the community, very well liked, very interactive on social media with the fan base as well. So, definitely a loss. And, I understand he's moving on to another opportunity. So best of luck to Peter and what comes next.
I liked him. I liked him. He had a different approach, you know? And I don't think that was bad. I think that was good. And it was, he always had some good things to say. I always liked it though. And like some of the times he over explained stuff and I'd always start laughing, but, he was always very, very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sad to see him go, but we'll see who we get. It's important, you know, anytime you have a play-by-play change or a color commentator change for the team you follow, it's different. It changes everything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, going back over the years, like obviously Peter Maher being the most legendary of the bunch, but it's always, they're so consistent. It's such a part of watching a broadcast or listening to a broadcast. So it's always a major, major change. Like I can't imagine not having Rick Ball doing Flames games, for example.
But I couldn't either.
Eventually the day will come. Yeah.
And the day, you're right, the day will come. And another guy that I would really hate to see go now would be Kelly Rudy. I have really grown to enjoy listening to him. And I know some people rip on him and don't like him and whatever. And I don't know.
That's all down to personal taste, though, I think. I mean, Kelly Rudy, my first exposure to him was on the Hockey Night Canada panel just after he retired for a number of years. And I remember one year he attended Flames training camp just as kind of a media spoof, something to do. Like, and it was really kind of cool. Like, he kind of gave you a behind-the-scenes look at training camp. But since he's come on board, I'm always excited when I hear he's going to be, you know, in the booth. I think he does a fantastic job, and he's really come into his own as a broadcaster over the years. And Kelly Rudy, to me, is one of the more insightful, engaging people out there. And he makes a broadcast sound fun, right? Much like Rick Ball does, which is why they're such a great pair.
And it's kind of, I don't know why, listening to him is kind of calming, though, you know, to his voice is just kind of, I don't know. I enjoy listening to him, and it's a good read too. You got to read his book. It's really good.
Actually his book is sitting behind me here. It's a fantastic read.
It is. It's a good one. You know, this last, well, Ryan Pike summed it up really good. I don't know if you saw the tweet. He tweeted over the last 19 months, and he listed, like, I mean, I can go through it. It's a barrage of bad things. And, like, the whole team got COVID. The arena deal was dissolved. You know, it just a whole bunch of things. And it's really kind of sad to look at all of it. But you know what? Now I just feel like with this new draft, we've got a coach. We've got a GM. It's almost like a full, you know, Lucic is gone, other things, you know, I feel like it's a full turning of the page almost for the organization. And yeah, I know some people are upset about it, about parts of it probably. It's a happy about other parts. And I don't know, I don't have a lot of emotions whether I'm happy or sad or what. I'm just looking at it as, you know, as much as we loved these players and we loved the organ, you know, we loved everything about it, and we loved the hope that they gave us the last few years. We didn't win with them. So now turning the page and has maybe struggles in the next couple of years. We don't know that really for sure. It's going to be tough to tell because some of the teams that, you know, sucked 2 years ago got good really quick. And I think this is a time to just kind of, you know, we don't need to hear about Gaudreau anymore. We don't need to hear about Sutter anymore. We don't need to hear about Tkachuk anymore. We don't need to hear about any of this anymore. It's done. And now it's a fresh start. And I'm looking at it as a positive. I really am.
It's a very, very fresh start. I mean, the biggest reset, I guess you can call it, that they've had in years, arguably ever had, if you look at the history of the team. I mean, you've got a new GM, a new coach. Jerome McGinley's returned in a special advisory capacity. We got Mark Savard, former Flame, now as an assistant coach, a very offensive-minded coach at that. Obviously, Ryan Huska is the head coach. So, like, the whole brass that's involved in the day-to-day of the team has either been supplemented or changed, which I think is fantastic. And I think when you talk about teams like you just did that improve so quickly, they do it by doing exactly what Craig Conroy said the Flames would do, which is to integrate younger players in the lineup. And as we saw today, those opportunities will likely be there for a lot of players because a number of Flames have left town.
Yeah. Another thing, Kyle, that seems weird is we used to seem like the offseason was just an offseason. And we had time to, like, kind of push, I don't want to say push aside hockey because many of us didn't want to, but it just seemed like there wasn't much there to talk about. In the last couple of years, it's just been, it's a barrage. From the end of the season to the playoffs to the draft to the awards, the draft, free agency, and it cruises through before you know. Now we're at prospects camps next week and everything, and it cruises through. There's not time to get, you know, a break from hockey, which we all kind of need, even though we love it so much. But it's crazy what this free agency changes everything. And it's going to be interesting to see what this team does this year as we roll through an off season and get ready for September when we come back with season 5 of the show. We still have some more episodes to get through in the summer, but September season 5, it'll be me and you again. New graphics, a couple changes will take place. Some bigger, better things for next year ahead. But today on the show, man, we're jam-packed. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. We're going to get right to it. We got draft, free agency, Toffoli trade, the UFAs, Hanifin on the move, when that's going to happen, and tons of little news to talk about. Coaches hire, again, LeBack, Backlund gets a Clancy. Hall of Fame for Vernon. It is a jam-packed edition of Flames Unfiltered. Let's talk draft, Kyle. I'm completely honest with everybody when I'm talking about prospects in the draft. I don't follow a ton of prospects. So I read my magazines, I do my little bit of research, but I mean, the guys we were drafting outside of the second round, I didn't have a take on them. So let's talk about how we thought the draft went down and go from there. 6 picks for the Flames, and we picked big guys. What were your thoughts on the draft picks?
Typical. I mean, for the Flames to pick big guys, but
it was pretty much, that was pretty common about the whole draft, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, it's always been the case for Calgary, although there was definitely more of an emphasis on skill. A little bit off the board in the first round,
Did you think?
Based on who was available, yeah, I was a little bit surprised by the pick, but I don't think it's a bad pick by any stretch.
If you like looked at rankings, though, and when I was following the draft, it seemed like the first round, there was a lot of off-the-board stuff.
Well, I think because the draft is so deep. I mean, I think a lot of teams are looking at, you know, a lot more options than what they would have in other draft years. A lot of times it's maybe not obvious, but pretty clear between one, two players who's left in the board that you should take, right? Outside of generally the top 10. This one, I mean, it's a deep, deep draft. And I thought, you know, overall, I thought the Flames did quite well.
Yeah. I it's one of those things. I always see these things. Well, who are the winners and the losers of the draft? I don't know. I'll check back in 4 years. It's so up in the air.
That's the only way to do it, really.
It's just so up in the air. But I thought all in all, it went pretty well. Hanzig, I mean, I watched some highlights, and I'm impressed. I feel like you know, time will tell, but I feel like we'll be okay there. I did laugh a little bit when we got another goaltender this year, and a goalie that left everybody in the media scrambling because nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, it's not the first time they've done that, though. I mean, to me, especially with how hit-and-miss goaltenders can be, I mean, look at Tyler Parsons. Highly touted draft pick a few years ago, and I don't think he's even playing hockey at this point, right? Leland Irving, to go further
back. Oh, I remember, we were really high on him. Like, yeah, he was going to be...
You know, John Gillies had a couple of really strong World Junior showings.
And he was great at Providence.
Yeah, and he's still a you know, professional goaltender who's doing quite well, but, you know... now we've obviously got Dustin Wolf, who we've all got our hopes pinned on. It's never a bad thing to draft a bunch of goalies because odds are a few of them are not going to pan out.
No. It's a crapshoot when it comes to the goaltending. But all in all, interesting draft. No trades, no excitement really at all at the draft, which is a little bit rare. I think they said it's...
Well, I had some excitement myself because their second round pick, Etienne Morin, plays for the Moncton Wildcats. So I've seen him play a bunch.
Talk about that.
Yeah, well, Jacob Pelche, of course, was among the Wildcat as well, was their captain. So that was the most exciting draft pick for me personally that I've seen the Flames make. But Morin is a really, really skilled defenseman, not unlike Jeremy Poirier. So I'll be interested to see how that works out, because obviously defensemen typically take a little bit longer to develop the defensive side of the game, which is what he's going to have to do to play pro hockey. But pretty cool pick. I'm looking forward to the next season, so I can watch him play some more in person.
It's fun when you have that personal connection, though, isn't it? Because you know the ins and the outs of that player. I had a friend of mine and a kid who played hockey with my son get drafted 82nd overall by the Winnipeg Jets this year.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty close to home for you, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so his mom's is a Canadian, too, and she lived fairly close to Winnipeg, and his dad farms north of where I live, and it's close to Winnipeg. So they're really pumped that he's going to be a Jet, and excitement there as the local kid gets picked 82nd overall. So that's always fun to see when you have that connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, for all the talk, and there was a lot of talk about Sam Hanzik maybe not being the player the Flames should have taken. Again, it's like a trade. You can't judge it the first day. I mean, obviously Hanzik was high in the draft for a reason. Big guy, skilled. But I'm not going to judge that for at least 1 to 2 years at all to even guess how he's going to pan out, because he could be one of the best players taken in the draft. We don't know.
If you look at just take a look at some past drafts when you're bored. Just go back and look at the 2018 draft or the 2015. You'll be surprised on where some of the players were picked.
I'm actually looking at the Flames' last few drafts right now. 17 wasn't bad because we had Valimaki and Adam Rzeczka. 18, oof. Martin Pospisil was the highest drafted Flame, and they just re-signed him, but I mean, I don't know that he's got an NHL future. And then, of course, 19, you had Pelche and Wolf for the two big names there. And then, you know, from there, there's a number of players who look to be probable NHLers.
Was it that long ago for those guys? It was that long ago for Wolf.
God, just... 2020 was Connor Zary and Jeremy Poirier, to name a few. 21, of course, was Carnotto. He's the only big name on that list. William Strogren's got kind of an outside chance. 22, we had virtually no picks. Topi Roni at 59 out of just the three picks we had.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, 2023, I mean, that's the most picks. Well, it's one of the like bigger drafts we've had in the last few years. But yeah, who knows? Yeah, there's some players I would have liked to have taken, but we didn't, and we'll see how it pans out.
Let's roll on into free agency, and today was, like we talked about earlier, extremely uneventful for the Flames, but it's hard to do anything when you don't have any money, so, and maybe that is a blessing.
I think it is. I mean, well, I say that. I mean, the reality is our last GM, who did the same thing again today with Toronto, you know, signing Ryan Reeves to a 3-year deal, not a lot of money, but still, he always made seemingly some kind of a splash on NHL free agency and hasn't always worked out particularly well. So obviously Conroy's, you know, got his own ideas of how he wants to do things. And I think he did the smartest thing he could have done today. And the biggest news to the Flames was all the guys that will no longer be wearing the Flaming C. So Trevor Lewis, which breaks my heart because, you know, I'm a Lewis. But Trevor Lewis signs back in L.A. Troy Stetcher goes back to Arizona. That one was disappointing.
That one was. I always play around on cap friendly, and we're probably going to do that next week or in 2 weeks when we do the show, is kind of just play around with it a little bit and pick some of our rosters that we think that would be good with where we're at with the Flames now. But I was just playing with it last week, and I was pinning him in it. Like, I'd give him 2 years at 1.2, and I think he got, what did he get? He got 1.1 for 1 year, and I'm thinking, crap, if we'd have given him 2 years. I liked the way he played last year. I did, and I thought he would be a good, cheap defenseman that's going to be safe, reliable, can give us some offense. I'm disappointed we didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, with Chillington back, it's interesting to see where Stetcher would have wound up in the lineup potentially. But I also understand the appeal of going back to Arizona in terms of, you know, the climate, chief amongst other things, I suppose. But they've also got some good young players. So, sad to see him go, but it wasn't shocking. And then, of course, the other one, which had been reported probably a week ago, was Milan Lucic returning to Boston, which, as you said at the outset of the show, you're happy about. And realistically, I am too. I mean, I wish him all the best in Boston. And it's still amazing to me that Calgary won the Lucic-Nihil trade by a landslide, but it was time to move on.
You know, and in defense of Lucic, part of his problem wasn't Lucic. It was how he was played.
It was usage,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to pin on some of it on Sutter.
You can say the same for Trevor Lewis as well. You know, a serviceable veteran that was probably playing over his head and being doled out there more than he should have been.
Yeah, I mean, I got mad at Lucic, but I mean, Lucic wasn't jumping the bench against coach's orders to be on the power play with 3 minutes to go when you're down a goal, right? I mean, I'm mad at him for looking like he's got, you know, 30-pound cinders tied to his legs, but that's who he is right now, right? And if he's if he's misrolled out there, that's not his fault. So I will defend him in that aspect. But I did chuckle when I saw his contract today. It's $1 million with incentive bonuses based off play. I'm thinking, what do you put on a bonus incentive for Milan Lucic? Like,
probably 10 goals, so many games.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, what do you put on there?
But I think there's also, I've heard from a few Bruins fans and a bit from those I don't know on Twitter, that part of the play there is maybe to entice Bergeron or Krejci or both to return for another year.
That happens, how are they going to do that with the cap?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. I mean, well, they moved some money out. I mean, trading Taylor Hall, right?
But they didn't they have a five? I believe it was a $5 million cap penalty from bonuses last year.
That's like, you could be right. Yeah,
that's a lot. They had most in the league.
The point being is that you're counting on these guys to come back cheaper because their play has regressed a bit. Yep. You're also potentially counting on, like, the Flames, like we are, making a few moves for the end of the summer, free up some space.
We're gonna talk about that. I'm interested to see how that goes. Free agency was interesting in the fact that some of the guys that went, like Sorokin getting that term and that dollar, to me just was a head scratcher, even though I think he's one of the best goalies in the league. But Carolina isn't that a ton?
Yeah.
Carolina, they're all in, man. This team's all in.
Yeah. The Rangers are entering today, too.
Yeah. Carolina just signed Bunting to a 3-year deal.
Yep.
Wow. They are just...
What else did they do today? There was another move. That's going to drive me nuts. Just real quick, more recent signings. Erik Gustafsson, former Flame, signed with the New York Rangers.
Yeah. Those are a 1-year deal, correct?
Yeah. And one-time fan favorite, Big Save Dave, David Rittich, is off to Los Angeles. So he's back in the Pacific.
Rittich went to Los Angeles?
Yeah, he signed in L.A., and so did Cam Talbot, actually.
Yes, I did see the Talbot.
So the Flames' former tandem is back together, come to think of it.
Oh, jeez. Who else do they have in goaltender? Who do they have? They have somebody else in L.A., don't they?
Well, they had Corpusalo. He signed with Ottawa.
He's gone.
Obviously, Quick is gone, and he signed with the Rangers as well. A lot of cast-offs went to the Rangers, Blake Wheeler being the most notable of them.
I use
the word cast-offs respectfully. You know, some buyouts involve aging players, et cetera.
I don't hate that move, though.
Phoenix Copley is...
That's the goalie I was thinking of. You know, Cam Talbot's a good goalie.
Oh, actually, sorry, not to interrupt that thought, but Connor Mackey also signed with the New York Rangers.
Did he? Oh, jeez. I've been going through these. I didn't expect there'd be this many signings. I mean, there is a lot of signings today, and
oh, it's been a ton, an absolute ton. And by the way, I agree with you about Talbot. He's a good goaltender. Trying to see if there's any other notable ones. That's it for pretty much for Flames signings. But that was the big thing. You know, just get back to the Flames for a minute on that regard. They stuck to their guns. They let guys leave town that probably should have moved on. If for no other reason than it's hard to really give young guys an opportunity when you have that many vets in the way. Now, it also depends largely on coaching, as we know. Like, I could have seen, you know, Lewis coming back and playing, you know, every so often, kind of being a mentor to younger players. That wouldn't have bothered me. But, you know, they're sticking to their guns in terms of this team's going to be faster and a bit younger. And if you look at the teams you mentioned earlier that, you know, become competitive so fast, that's how they do it. They integrate young players. And the Flames have a lot of high-end talent, potentially more than we think when we get talking about the more recent trade of Tyler Toffoli. But the bottom half of the roster was slow and slogging, and, you know, it's nice to see that part of it change.
I think, you know, and we can morph into this Toffoli trade now too, but I think we have high-end talent. Mm-hmm. But I also think when you look at our roster that we've miscast a few players as high-end talent that aren't. Well, I mean, I'm really worried. Instead of beating around the bush on my comment there, I really worry about where we're going with Mangiapane and Dubé.
Yep.
I really worry about that. I worry more about Dubé than I do Mangiapane.
In what sense?
I don't think he's there. I don't think we're going to get any more out of Dylan Dubé than we're getting right now, and it's not that great.
Do you think we're going to get... Do you think he's going to achieve that somewhere else, potentially, if he's traded? Is it just a matter of needing a fresh start, or do you think he is what he is at the NHL
level? I think he is what he is at the NHL level. I think we've watched it enough. Have we not watched it enough?
I would say so. I mean, I had him, as you may recall, as my breakout candidate last year, and he did break out insofar as it seems like he's going to. He had a strong season. I think he's a player you can move up and down your lineup in a pinch, which is valuable, but he's not shown to be a 60, 70-point player.
He's not. I mean, where do you...
Although he's been put in positions to do that, he just hasn't done it.
He hasn't done it. And then we got Andrew Mangiapane, who we're paying $5.8 million to, and I honestly like what Andrew Mangiapane brings to the team.
Yep.
But the fall off last year scares the hell out of me.
It's not unusual though. I mean, every Flame the prior season overachieved to some extent or another. So.
Is he performing to the level that we can expect for the rest of his future, and we just overpaid for him? Is that maybe what it is?
Potentially. I think he's going to settle in as a 50, 60-point player, and, you know, a valuable scoring winger, but not a superstar by any stretch. But I think he was one of those guys that really suffered in that second season under Sutter, who, with a more offensive-minded coach, really could come into his own. And that's why, you know, again, we'll touch on just briefly the hiring of Mark Savard as an assistant. I think that's a really, really smart move for a team that has skill. But we don't really know how much they have because I felt like it was suppressed a lot last season.
I honestly think that having a guy like Savard is going to be a bonus for the Flames. I don't mind the Dan Lambert hire either. I think the coaching staff is rounded out fairly well. Were you surprised that LaBarbera was brought back as goaltending coach?
I was, actually. That's such a hard one to read.
It is, because he can't go stop them for him.
No. And I mean, they were so successful the year prior, right?
So successful.
So how do you, I mean, Markstrom was one off tying the season record for the Flames for shutouts. He had 9. Kiprusoff's record was 10. The prior record, I think, was Freddie Brathwaite with 5. So that's not insignificant. Little shout out to Freddie there. Kind of loved him. But I don't know how to judge that. I mean, odds alone dictate that both those goaltenders should be much better next year. If Dustin Wolf plays any amount, he should be good as well. But if it was up to me, I probably would have made a change in that position.
Just I probably would have too.
So bad. But I've been proven wrong many, many times before.
So, yeah, I don't know. Savard's going to run the power play. Looks like Lambert's going to run the penalty kill. One other coaching thing to touch on here. Mitch Love is gone as he joins the Washington Capitals staff as an assistant coach. And the part that I thought was interesting is he said in his, this is his quote, "I had a couple of loose conversations with the Flames on the position there. I had interest in it. It just never quite materialized that way." Is this surprising to you?
No. Based on the amount of success he had, he was going to get an NHL gig somewhere. I'm a little surprised that he took an assistant gig somewhere else, because I don't know how Calgary couldn't have found room for him on the bench. But at the same time, I think it's hard to go from so much experience with a guy like Daryl Sutter and Kirk Muller even, and then go to like Huska and Love, a really young professional hockey coaching duo. I mean, that, I think that's one of the reasons they brought in Mark Savard, is they wanted somebody with NHL pedigree, let's say.
It just surprised.
You were surprised he left?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm more surprised that he didn't end up on the Flames bench, and probably more surprised that, and I'm only hearing one side of the story here, and that's not fair to the organization, but I'm surprised that the talks were so limited, I guess.
Well, we didn't get the impression from Ken Conroy that they were that limited.
I know. That's why I'm wondering, like, did Mitch Love just, like, sugarcoat that to make himself? I don't know. It just seemed weird, didn't it?
He made it sound like he got passed over rather quickly, and I don't know if that was the case. To be fair, I don't think he could have made a better case for himself for that job, but neither could Ryan Huska. So
I agree.
Mitch Love is going to be an NHL head coach, I think, much sooner than later. But again, it's the NHL. I mean, he had a lot of success with the Wranglers of the AHL, but we'll see how, you know, where, I guess where he goes from here. But it was disappointing because, I mean, he has fantastic rapport with his players, and I would have loved to have seen a guy like that on the Flames bench.
I had a friend telling me, like, that this is absurd. Like, how can the Flames let him go like that? This is absurd. And I said to him, I'm like, relax, dude. I'm like, coaches get fired every freaking 2 years. Like, I'm sure this isn't going to crush the franchise for the next decade.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, look at any position in any job ever. Sometimes you can only go so far so quickly.
Yeah.
And there's another opportunity that's better somewhere else. And that's, you know, he probably had permission to go talk to other teams. Washington probably made a really compelling case for why he should go there. And that's that.
Where he's at, right? Yeah.
Yeah, best of luck to him. Hopefully see him back in Calgary at some point.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Jerome McGinley, he comes on as special advisor to the general manager. I don't have a whole lot to say on this. I love Jerome McGinley. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great human being. I've never heard a negative thing about Jerome McGinley from anybody. I never have. Have you?
No, and you never will. I always think back to that story of the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City when he put those three guys up in the hotel because they were sleeping in their car. You've heard that story,
eh? I have, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's just the kind of person that he is. And the night that they retired his jersey at the Saddle Dome, he stayed till God knows what time to sign autographs for as many people as he could. Just a phenomenal human being, the best player in franchise history in my mind and a lot of people's minds. And, I mean, I think it's smart to start him in a minor role like that because his name is the most important thing in this instance as he gets more experience. But it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, the management of this team is becoming the 2001 to 2003 Calgary Flames.
I know.
Jerome McGinley.
And I'm like, man, I don't want this to be the friggin' Edmonton Oilers reunion tour.
No, but I do think it's a lot of guys who feel that there's maybe some unfinished business there, as they've said.
And I'm all for that. And you know what? Most importantly, it is, it's guys that love the city of Calgary.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear Mark Savard talk more about it. Just because the way he left, in my mind, anybody feel free to argue this with me, and they will, especially with the Gilmore trade. The Mark Savard trade is the worst trade in Flames history, only because they got absolutely nothing for him, and then he became a superstar center everywhere else he played. Obviously, yeah. The Gilmore trade was atrocious, but at least some usable assets came back.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's interesting, and also let's not forget the circumstances, and I'll stop rambling about it. Savard asked to be moved out of town because he couldn't get along with Craig Gilbert. They trade him. 2 weeks later, they fire Gilbert.
That's right. That is how it went down, isn't it?
So you got rid of the coach and you get rid of the player. Yep.
Perfect.
Anyway, way to go, Craig Button.
that was a perfect. That reminds me of, like, remember when Vancouver had Luongo and Corey Schneider? And Corey Schneider was, like, really, like, pushing Luongo.
Oh, yeah, and that's right. Then
all of a sudden, it's like, well, shit, now we have neither one of them.
Yeah, they had run it with Ryan Miller, which is so interesting to think back on. Anyway.
Crazy. Toffoli was traded to the New Jersey Devils. Your thoughts when this trade went down?
I was surprised he was the first one.
I wasn't. Really? No, I wasn't. You know why? I felt he's easier to trade than Hanifin. Because the return for Hanifin, we expect to be bigger. Those trades are really, really hard to make right now. Really hard to make. Toffoli's, I figured, was going to be a cut and dry thing. I figured mid-roster player, and I actually thought a lower prospect than that. Mid-roster player and a fifth rounder is what I thought we would get. Because, here's why. And that's no knock on Toffoli. But the numbers I was hearing that he wanted and the term he was wanting, we can't do that. We can't do that.
I find it interesting because one of the things he said, and again, you know, no disrespect to Toffoli, I'm not going to miss his skating, though. He was not a great skater.
No.
But, and the team wants to get faster. But he said, you know, he was waiting for extension talks and none were happening. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? You still have a year left in your deal. Why do they have to take place right now? You're still contractually obligated to play for this team. So
let me break something to you. I think Toffoli wanted out of here. Hell or high water. And I think he knew because he was told right away, maybe they did talk and he said he had the number six for term and the team's like, here you go. I'm not doing 6 years at your age. That would be horrible business. And for once the Flames didn't do that.
Well, and that's the thing. And the other side of this, the other interesting piece to me is that everybody was demoting the return. Tyler Toffoli's 73-point season, which I don't remember the number because that's also his jersey number, was a bit of an outlier. He's a good scoring winger, always has been. He might score that many points if he's playing with Jack Hughes next year.
There's no maybe. Way. There's no way. I don't.
I'd be surprised, but it's possible. But everybody's saying that, you know, they should have got more for him. Well, first of all, a third-round pick may as well be a second-round pick in a draft this deep.
Yep.
It's a decent pick. There's nothing wrong with that draft pick. And Sharon Govich has a fantastic shot. He's 25 years old. He's a good skater. Like, how can you not be pleased with that return? Never mind the fact that we're assuming this entire time that everybody's tweeting about it, talking about it, bitching about it. We're assuming we know what the market is for Tyler Toffoli. Well, we don't know.
No.
We have a sense of what we want it to be or what maybe we think it should be. But Craig Conroy get a decent return for a declining asset. A player that seemed to want out of town from everything we heard.
We got a guy now that is a shooter. He's got good size, skates well, can kill penalties according to everybody that's scouted him. Yeah. I look at his age. Man, you take Toffoli's one season out here that we just had. In 21-22, Jaron Govich had more goals and more goals and really close to the same amount of assists as or points. I don't know.
But this is the other thing, and this is a really interesting stat that got passed around. So you mentioned he's a good penalty killer. Sharon Govich got virtually no power play time. And if you look at the 5-on-5 scoring rate for both players the last two seasons, they're damn close.
Yes.
They're damn close. So all of a sudden you give Sharon Govich power play time with, you know, Mackenzie Weegar, Jonathan Huberdeau, Luke Kadri. Like, you got to think he's going to be a 50, maybe high-end to 70-point player.
Well, then
in the right circumstance.
And then we get him for $3.1 million, which is not even close to the number we're going to get Toffoli at, right?
And he's faster and younger.
So isn't this what the fans wanted? This is what the fans wanted.
I love when you get worked up about this. Yeah, it's what we all wanted. It's exactly what the team needs. So my question to you then, now that we've kind of covered the Toffoli part, do you think it was a mistake that Hanifin wasn't traded before the draft in order to maybe move up in that draft or acquire another pick for that draft or whatever they might have done? Do you think it's better to hang on to him to see how the market is after free agency?
No, I think it would have been ideal because I think our return that we're searching for is high draft picks, right? I mean, I don't know. I believe that's what it is because we need to move him to get cap space to just function. Yeah. So we can't take a whole bunch of roster players back. Well, here's the thing. There's not a lot of teams right now that can afford Hanifin.
Nope.
So, I mean, ideally, yes, I would have liked to trade him prior to the draft so we could have had more picks in this draft. But you can't just give him away. Like, I don't care if we ride this out till trade deadline. I don't. I'd rather get the right deal.
Yeah, I can't see it necessarily because so many things change in the summer. I think it'll be done by training camp.
I do too.
At the very latest. But
and now, going off what free agent defensemen are getting today, leads me to believe that the value of Hanifin just keeps going up and up and up, right?
This is kind of fun to talk about since he's our former GM. What the hell is Brad Treliving doing? Do you see the John Klingberg contract?
Yes, I believe that was
one year, $4.15 million. So you take that, you take the Reeves contract. I don't understand what he's trying to do with this team that fell flat in the second round of the playoffs. Now, Klingberg is good on the power play for sure. Reeves, you know, toughness and tangibles. I get that to a point. But if this is how he was going to work with the Flames, this is how he's going to tweak the roster, whatever he had in mind. I'm glad he's working somewhere else. I don't like these moves at all for Toronto. I'm not really sure what his thinking is.
The only
what does John Klingberg bring to the Leafs that they don't already have?
I don't know.
I mean, Justin Hall left, but
the only other moves that I thought were worse today were the Islanders and Lamoriello.
They were just one after the other after the other. And there's a lot of names that moved around that I hadn't thought of. Like Brian Dumoulin went to Seattle to replace Carson Soucy. He went to Vancouver. I don't know what the hell they're doing in Vancouver either.
What do you think of the Soucy to Vancouver?
I don't think it's a bad move. It's just everything else they're doing, I don't quite understand.
I haven't understand them for like 5 years, so.
I don't think anybody has, least of all them.
And they take Ian Cole. Well, he's young, 34-year-old. I guess they only did it for a year, though, so, I mean, it's not.
Oh, Laurent Brossoit went back to Winnipeg. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that.
So did Colin D'Elia, the former Blackhawks.
So. Yeah.
Does that not
tell you that Hellebuck's going to go?
Well, if Hellebuck's going to go, I'm not sure I would trust either one of those guys to get the job done.
No, I would agree.
That's scary. But, I mean, the goaltending market's kind of screwy right now, too. I mean, Korpisalo went to Ottawa. Talbot went to L.A. James Reimer went to Detroit. Mackenzie Blackwood went to San Jose. So there's the goaltending carousel, right?
Yep.
So as soon as the goalie leaves one team, they immediately sign a replacement.
So were you surprised Vladar didn't go?
You know what? He might be a candidate to flip to Winnipeg for something. I don't know. I shouldn't say I'm surprised only because I think – well, first of all, Conroy talked about him today. He doesn't want to make it sound like he's actively shopping the player, but I think after you've let the dominoes fall and most of the free agent goaltenders have been signed, you're the ones that anybody really wants. Now it's like, okay, who didn't get a goalie that needs one? Well, guess what? We got one, right?
Well, do you think that I think we start the season with him on the roster. I do. I know that's unpopular.
It's a good chance, because unless the right trade. It is and it isn't. I don't know. But there's injuries, too. A goalie gets hurt in summer training or in training camp. The value could go up. There's no reason to move him yet. But if somebody calls and says, hey, here's a blue-chip prospect and a second-round pick, I mean, I think you have to make that deal.
Look what Carolina's doing with goaltending. And they're running back with Anderson. And yeah, I mean, they're going to have three of them again.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but I mean, it's also evidence you could have a really good team without having to spend, you know, Bobrovsky-type money on a goaltender and Carey Price-type money.
I like what they're doing with. I love what Carolina's doing right now. I look at that, I'm like, wow, I love that. Did you see Tristan Jarry, what he got today? Holy cow.
They just glossed over that, actually. They signed the Penguins were busy, too. Signed Lars Eller, Ryan Graves, the old Detroit goalie, Alex Nedeljkovic, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And I think I got that right for the first time ever.
Nedeljkovic, yeah.
Tristan Jarry, like that's, I don't hate that cap hit, but what I'm wondering is with Nedeljkovic and Jarry, what are they doing with Casey DeSmith?
I don't know. They
never had too many goals, I guess, but anyway, there's lots of goaltending questions to go around. So back to the Vladar thing, there's opportunity every day to trade a guy like that. I just don't think they found the right one yet because they're not necessarily looking for it.
No, I think they're going to. That's just something in their back pocket, don't you think?
I think Columbus would be a good fit for him.
Yeah?
I think Columbus would be a really good fit for him, yeah.
Yeah. So we got some free agents here, or pending UFAs at the end of this season, that we got to figure out what we're going to do. Like, what's going to happen with Lindholm? What's going to happen with Backlund? We talked a little bit about Hanifin. Tanev, Zadorov. I mean, the list goes on and on. Are we cool? Are you cool starting the season with all of them, or where's your gut telling you?
Absolutely. At the trade deadline, you could be the most attractive team out there. You know, if you're not, in a playoff spot convincingly at that point, it kind of reminds me of the 2014-15 Flames when Tree Living smartly traded Curtis Glencross at the deadline, despite the fact the team was going to the playoffs. You get a decent return from Washington. This could be the same kind of thing, really. You could be in a playoff spot, and maybe this is the right trade for
those guys. Is a lot of guys that we got to move at the deadline. Like, we're probably a playoff team with this roster. Are we maybe? Well,
we said that last year.
Well, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're supposed to be cup contenders. So
we're a potential playoff team, though, with the roster we have right now.
It should be a playoff team, absolutely. But we'll see. It's kind of scary.
How do you trade all these guys heading into you can do the Glencross thing and trade one heading into the deadline, but you can't move four. And we can't trade. If we're a playoff team, we can't trade Lindholm. Playoffs?
You can also give that situation an opportunity to kind of air itself out. I guess they made a ridiculous offer to him. I say ridiculous because the term of money for me was way too much for a player his age.
What numbers are you hearing?
It was an 8-year deal, and it was post $8 million in salary, I believe. 8x8, 64, something like that.
Okay, what's your drop dead number for Lindholm?
Term or dollar or both? I'm guessing both.
I'm not going to take it easy on you.
I'm not going past 5 years, and I'm not going above $6.5 million.
See, I'm willing to go more.
Yeah.
This is my top. This is my, sorry, you're out the door number. It's six years, $8 million. And I look at that number.
Realistically, he's not going to sign the deal. I just threw it there. We both know that.
And I look at that number. He's not signing that with us. He'll get that from somebody. He'll get 7 years and 8.5 from somebody else.
Oh, that's crazy.
But
the thing is, the market, and this is the thing about these types of deals, and whatever happens to Lindholm, whatever contract he signs, wherever he signs it, generally speaking, apart from some free agent idiocy that we see every year, the market is the market. And the problem we talked about before is that if Lindholm leaves under whatever circumstance, you're immediately looking for another Lindholm. And nobody in the system, no Connor Zare, nobody is ready to assume that responsibility at this point.
Nope.
So that's a really dangerous. If he's adamant by training camp, I'm not going to sign an extension. You do the best you can to keep that as quiet as you can, which in this day and age, you really can't. But anyway, you try to mitigate the situation. You trade him for whatever the best trade is. But hopefully they can come to terms with some kind of a deal because they think he's a great player and he's still one of the players that the team needs. As far as Backlund goes,
what are you offering there?
Oh, Frank, that's a tough one.
It is a really hard one. There's
such an emotional connection to that player. He's been there for so damn long. At his age, I don't know how you go beyond another four seasons. But see, he's going to want to stay long-term or retire here if he's going to sign anything, right? In terms of dollar, I mean, you can't pay him more than he's making now because he's not going to be worth it.
But the number 3 years, $5 million, sticks in my head, but he's not signing that.
No, that's what I would do. You can't go beyond 3 years with a player like that.
Would you? Okay. I could see with a Backlund knowing that. Okay. In here, I'm going to sound like Backlund's agent here. So give me four. How old is Backlund right now? He is 34. Give me 4 years. Whew, that's pushing it. Give me 4 years at 4.5. Do you do it?
Yeah, I would.
I would too.
4 seasons goes by quickly.
And then he's our captain.
Well, and the way he plays the game, it's not predicated on speed. He's a very smart player.
He's hardly ever hurt.
Yep. Aging's not going to, it's almost like Mark Giordano. Aging is going to catch him much later in his career. He's not going to score as much, but he's still going to be reliable. He will not be a liability on the ice.
He will not.
At least I can't see it.
And he'll win faceoffs for you.
Absolutely. And obviously, he's a great guy to have on your team because he just won the King Clancy Award. So there you go.
So what do you do with Tanev? What do you offer him?
You know what? The thing with Tanev is when they replaced TJ Brody with him that summer, I was like, oh my God, this is such a bad deal. And I was dead wrong. Other than some of the injuries, particularly the one against Edmonton in the playoffs last year, or against Dallas, I should say, is when it first occurred, he has been so good for Calgary.
I love the week.
I absolutely adore the guy, but because of the way he plays, because of how I expect him to age, I don't think he's a guy you bring back.
I trade him. It pains me to say that.
Absolutely. But at the deadline, that is what? apart from the rare circumstance wherein some kind of a high scoring forward is available that you can maybe keep for longer term, there's nothing more desirable than a rock solid defenseman for a playoff bound team.
He is the guy I save until deadline.
Oh, 100%.
Because he's
100%. He's going to get a pick.
He's what everybody's looking for a stretch run.
What was the trade? Was Ben Chiarot to Florida that caught a first round pick? Yep. And pardon my French, but I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yep. Are you kidding me? If that's what he was worth at the time, Chris Tanev's worth a first and an A-level prospect.
Yeah.
That, we're not even talking if we're not talking about that.
So where do we go with Zadorov?
That's a win-now player. Big Z.
I feel like he wants to sign here. I feel like he wants to re-sign here.
He said he did.
I know.
The thing is, again, there's a bit of an emotional connection there. Not because he's a longtime Flame, but because he's so fun to watch when he obliterates people.
You hated him, though.
Yeah, when he did it out of position.
No, no. When we first got him, I remember talking to you, and you
you
were like, oh, train wreck, this is bad. This is not good.
Well, it was too much money. But, I mean, again, the market's the market, and somebody else is going to pay him that, if not more. But when he throws a huge hit to put himself out of position and the opposition scores a goal, you just want to hang yourself or shoot him or something. But
I don't want to take that out of his game, though, because I think he brings that fear factor. And we talked about this on a previous show, about how he brings the fear factor that nobody else on the team does.
Wasn't that a terrible show?
Yeah.
But you're right. But the other thing, like with him, like when you look back on the season highlights, you see biggest hits. Out of the top 20, he's there 14 times.
And gosh, and he actually does have, even it's awkwardly looking, he does have some offensive talent too. So
he has 16 goals and 9 assists or something.
Yeah, remember when he walked that guy in the last game of the season? Oh, my God.
He's a character. Like, I know some personal stories about him from a buddy of mine that used to work in the Sabres organization. And like, he's a really likable player. And you know what? He's probably super excited to have another Russian aboard in Cherenkovich.
Yeah. What do you offer Zadorov?
I don't know. Give him another 2 years at 2.5, maybe.
Oh, he's not doing that. He's making 3.75 now. He's not going backwards. He's scoring more points now. He's going to want 4.8. Look at the rest of the defensemen are getting right now.
Oh, it's wild. He would definitely get a decent return. How old is Zadorov now? He's only 28.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, 14 goals and 7 assists. He was a plus 10 on a shitty Flames team.
I know.
It's those 14 goals, man.
He's probably wanting 6.25 now.
Oh, God, you're going to make me sick.
I'm not wrong. I bet you
100. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying you're going to make me sick.
So what happens with Hanifin? What are we getting for Hanifin? I've heard he's going to Pittsburgh. I've heard he's going to Florida. That's not happening now.
I don't think Pittsburgh necessarily can either. They did a lot of moves today. Made a lot of moves today, I should say.
So all those are like, they drive to that. Those moves and everybody acquiring all these defensemen, does that drive the value of Hanifin down?
No, if anything, I think it might drive it up because he's one of the most attractive ones out there. And the teams are just struck out on getting the player they wanted or may have wanted as a plan B in free agency. They go back and they look again at what it takes to acquire Hanifin.
Can we get a scoring right winger for him and forget about prospects and get a scoring right winger? Or am I talking silly talk right now?
This whole podcast is silly talk. I think you can, but my question to you is, who would it be?
Who's
a team that can take on Hennepin's? Yeah.
They'd be giving us a contract too for the top line right winger. Because we bring Lindholm back, we got Huberdeau, Lindholm, and who as our first line?
You're probably going to try Mangiapane.
He's not a first line winger. We keep shoving Dubé and Mangiapane into places they don't fucking belong.
Wow. Mangiapane, I think, is a better chance of fitting there, though, than others. I think Cherenkovich is an option. Maybe Jacob Pelche if he has a really strong camp. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to start there that we don't expect to start there.
We'd probably be better off with Coronado starting there.
maybe we do. Maybe he has a huge camp. Maybe he, you know, lights it up the preseason, ends up having a 20-25 goal season. He looks good in that game against San Jose. He's got a wicked shot.
I agree. But if we're starting the season with a rookie on our first line, that scares the shit out of me.
A lot of teams have done it. Wasn't Alex Tanguay a rookie when he won the Cup with Colorado?
I know. And I got to get past that hurdle in life. but you got to understand what I'm saying, right?
Oh, I agree. There's no fit on this team currently where it's like, that's the guy who they first
tried. So can Hannafin trade maybe bring us one of those?
Yeah, but you still haven't given me a fucking name.
I don't know. I'll have a name next show because I'm doing it. I'm making the trade on Cap Friendly next show.
I'm gonna give it some thought too. There's definitely some younger players out there who have some scoring potential, who maybe had a 15-20 goal season that you know you could get in a trade for Hannafin. Scoring right wingers are hard to come by.
They are. They totally are. And I think we got one in Coronado, and we'll see. I don't want to put too much pressure on him this year though.
No, but if he steps in and plays like he's potentially capable of, hey, more power to him, right?
Hell, that's what we need. We've been needing that forever.
Well, since the new hiree, Jerome McGinley, we haven't had a really strong right winger, natural right winger. Well, since Lindholm played right wing and along with Monahan and Gaudreau, really.
Yeah.
That's a really hard position to fill. So,
what are we going to get from Oliver Shillington this year?
Exactly what we got out of Hannafin, but with maybe a little more offense, hopefully.
You think he's there?
I think he has a ton to prove, and he's going to be highly, highly motivated to prove it. I really do. And he's excellent the last season he played.
He was, but he was about ready to be the guy that went on waivers the seasons before.
Well, he broke out, I think.
I hope you're right. God, I pray you're right. We need that so bad, but then we got to sign him. We wasted a whole year of his contract at a good deal. We're getting hosed on that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And we talked about that before. That's not fair how that works. But no. I think in Shillington's case, if he's given the opportunity, if he's got, you know, maybe he gets top pairing minutes with Rasmus Anderson or something like this. Well, potentially. There's a lot of ways this could play out. If he has a really strong season, I think the Flames leverage is, hey, listen, you had a great season. You took a season off. Yep. You came back and you had a great season. Like, but we need to see, and it's going to wind up being a bridge deal. The only way they can sign him if he has a big season is a bridge deal, because I don't think they can afford to go long-term with him.
No, I agree.
But I think he's going to have a really, really good year. I think him coming back is kind of the X factor on that Flames blue line, and he's exactly what makes Noah Hannafin expendable.
I agree.
And we trade Hannafin, we're looking for another Hannafin-ish player.
Yeah, and I at least, like, I've always been a fan of Hannafin, but he does make me want to pull my hair out once in a while, but everybody does. But I think the return on him is going to be good. So, like, let's leverage that. I think, you know, like we talked about it a minute ago, Tanev a deadline, perfect. We're going to get an asset there. And, like, you just see how this plays out. But I'm glad we're not knee-jerk reactioning. You know,
no, just, and if they were doing that, you would have saw some kind of a signing today at $2 million a year, leaving us with $500,000 in cap space. It would have been something dumb that doesn't need to happen. And that something dumb would have been, you know, potentially re-signing Trevor Lewis, Milan Lucic, somebody who they're intentionally moving on from. And Conroy said as much today. And I love the fact he's sticking to his guns. He's saying and doing the same things.
Yeah.
Because there are guys internally that can, and Walker Dewar is the best example I can give you, that can do those roles, provide a little bit more offense. They're better skaters.
With more speed, to prove. Yes.
Yeah.
He's
remaking the bottom six of this team could solve a ton of their problems, plus having a coach with better deployment strategies. So.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the Flames are at this point. They should be a playoff team. But you know, they've got a lot of assets. They've made some smart moves so far, including the moves they didn't make. So we got a lot more to talk about this summer.
Mike Vernon gets announced that he's going into the Hall of Fame in 2023. 2-time Stanley Cup champ, 5-time All-Star, Conn Smythe Trophy. Heck, he's going to live on for all of us as the guy that was the goalie when we won the cup. But is he really a Hall of Famer?
Well,
and this is, and I'm not knocking him. I'm knocking the selection process. Like, I'm not knocking him.
100%. So the way I look at it is, almost like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It gets watered down over time, right? They just keep putting every year they want to put, like, it blows my mind. Alex Maglione isn't in there, for example. I think he's a guy that should be. But they're always, every so many years of eligibility, somebody makes it in. And I was always kind of on the fence about Mike Vernon. But when you listen to other goaltenders, his biggest rivals, Patrick Waugh and Grant Fuhr, talk about him, there's no doubt in their minds he's a Hall of Fame goaltender because he was a big game goaltender, right?
Yeah, he was.
89 Cup one, and then and Scotty Bowman saying, you know, Mike Vernon was the goalie we needed to win that cup in 97.
Yeah.
He outdueled more than once the best goalies of his generation and some of the best goaltenders of all time. So if you look at it like that, why wouldn't he be in the Hall of Fame, right?
No, I know there's arguments, and I'm not, like, I always, you know, he is that guy, that big game guy that you can depend on. I just, I don't know. I mean, I think Mika Kiprusoff's a better goalie than
Vernon. 100%. Kiprusoff's the best goaltender the Flames ever had.
He won't even get a sniff at the Hall of Fame.
No, but Vernon had the benefit of having some stacked teams in front of him, both absolutely, in Detroit and in Calgary. I mean, he showed well in Florida and San Jose in his latter years. Not so much a second run in Calgary, but as a kid, I loved having him around.
Like, I mean, I get ripped on this for all the time. I've said this many times on podcasts, and I get ripped every time I say it, but I'll say it again. You take Martin Brodeur and you take him off that Devils system and that Devils team, he's not a living legend that he is now.
Not at all. Great goaltender, but no.
Great goaltender.
I don't think he's any better than Ed Belfour.
Nope.
I don't think he's anywhere near as good as Dominic Hasek.
I could say that Ed Belfour. Yeah, heck, I had a friend ask me a couple weeks ago, who's the best goalie you've watched live?
That's a great question.
And you know who I said?
And I know lots of names you didn't say. Was it Ed Belfour?
No. Well, I almost said Ed Belfour because. I've always loved Ed Belfour. He played college hockey in North Dakota, and he won us a national championship. He's just a stud. But you know, I said, and I'm not a goalie guy, so I don't know everything, but just watching them live, I thought Nikolai Hobbyboulin was the best goalie I watched live.
His lateral movement was nuts. Now, this is a guy who at one point in his career pounded coffee and cigarettes during intermissions. Pounded them. But see, he's another one that he's kind of like Eric Lindros. Lindros had like those 2-3 seasons where he was otherworldly and injuries and all that. Like, he was the most dominant player on the planet for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Hobbyboulin from 2000, like, he had that contract dispute in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then he went off with Tampa Bay, and then he bounced around with the Blackhawks and the Oilers. And so he was, his best years were, there wasn't too many of them, but when he was on, man, he was good.
Well, he was really good initially in Winnipeg, and then obviously in Tampa when he won the cup. I mean, he just looking live, you know, like, who's the best? We're getting way off topic, but who gives a crap? Who's the best player you watched live?
Goaltender or player?
No, player.
Well, Connor McDavid, for sure. That was during the playoffs last year, 2022. So, but that's kind of an easy one because I've seen McDavid play. I've also seen Austin Matthews play.
You know who I really thought live just really stood out to me was Joe Sakic, and you're going to laugh at this one, but if you went back and watched some videos of him through the neutral zone, watching Marian Gabrick through the neutral zone, I was always like,
holy I saw Gabrick play years ago, when he's with the Wild.
His stride, I was just like, he just was one of those guys, you know, sitting like 10 rows behind the bench. I'm just watching this guy. I'm like, wow, like, look at him go through the neutral zone. Like, it. And Joe Sakic has always really stuck out to me, too, as a guy watching live looked even better than he did on TV.
Yeah, you know? That's incredible. The best wrist shot of all time.
Yeah, it's just different watching live than it is on TV sometimes.
Oh, big time. I mean, back to the goaltending thing, like, watching Kiprusoff play live was a real treat. I saw him play a number of times.
So did I.
And he's the only goaltender I ever was fortunate enough to watch live who really, really stood out. We're going way back now, but yeah, that's a great question, though. I like that a lot.
It's interesting when you get asked those, and I don't know why that stuck in my head and why I even brought it up on the show today, but I was just thinking about Vernon, and it's, I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame twice, and the first time I went, the people I was with, like, I thought they were going to, like, kill me, because, like, they were like, hey, at the rate we're going through this building, we're going to be here for like 3 days. And yeah. I mean, I just go through and I just read and just look at everything. And it just, I love history stuff and hockey history. And I just sometimes think that the Hockey Hall of Fame has gotten to be the hall of really good and not the hall of
fame. That's any hall.
You know what? Every sport is like that. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think Vernon was great. I love it. He won us a cup. He did everything. And I don't know.
It's kind of like actually the WWE Hall of Fame of Wrestling. Like if you were a part of the golden age of wrestling in the 80s, you're probably in the Hall of Fame. If you were Rick Rude, Jake Roberts, Ray Traylor, the Big Boss Man, like it's almost like an automatic in. And the Hockey Hall of Fame is kind of similar in that. Yeah. Like you said, if you're really good, and that was generally across his career, that was Mike Vernon. He was really good,
yeah.
But he got in because when he had to be exceptional, he was.
He won the big games. I don't know.
Yeah. And he fought Patrick Waugh, which is just cool.
That's awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. What do we have the rest of the summer? Well, we have prospects camp starting in Calgary. I believe it starts this weekend. Free agency is ongoing right now. I'm sure there'll be some more signings as the days go on. Preseason gets going when does that actually get going? September? What a date did I see on that? September 24th, we go with preseason. The schedule is out for this year, for Battle of Alberta, as I see. We open on the 11th of October against Winnipeg at home, so that's good. Some road trips I see this year that, I don't know. The schedule to me didn't look as bad as last year's. We didn't have some of the weird glitches like we had in the schedule last year, it seemed like.
So. Yeah, no kidding, eh? No, it looks a little bit more normal, if you will.
The longest road trip is a 5-gamer in October. Pittsburgh, Washington, Buffalo, Columbus, and Detroit.
I'll probably be on that road trip, I'm thinking. I'll probably do Buffalo and Columbus.
Are you?
Well, yeah, Columbus is a beautiful city. I'd like to get back there and meet up with some friends, potentially the Gaudreau family again. And a buddy of mine still works for the team, so I've got access to the practice arena too, which is really cool.
That's cool.
But anytime you go to a game in the States, like it's so cheap to fly interstate. It's so easy to find a deal. I mean, if you're going to go for a game, once you've crossed that border, you may as well go to two.
I always, when I go on trips, I try to at least get to two. It just doesn't make any sense not to, right? Eight back-to-backs, it looks like, this year.
That's a lot. Better have good goaltending.
Is it eight? Yeah, eight times this season. So, that does bring us to that goaltending. We'll see what happens there. But, we're cruising through the summer. We plan on doing another show July 12th-ish. If things break with big news, we're obviously going to hop on and do shows as we need. You can always check out our Flames Unfiltered shorts. We'll fire off a few of those this summer to fill the Flames news that happens. But I don't know, Kyle. Summer seems to be going quick, and before you know it, we'll be back in the hockey rinks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, eh? And I think it's fair to say if we see something big like a Hanifin trade, we'll jump on sooner than later to a full show if it happens in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be interesting, man. I don't know where June went. I don't know where the whole spring went, honestly.
It seems like it goes faster and faster every single year. And I don't know. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's nice to have, hit a reset in the summer.
Season like last year, it's a good thing.
It can't be. We turned the page, Kyle. We can't keep going referencing back to last year, right, bud? We'll get through it.
Full speed ahead.
We'll get through it. Things are looking good. We'll see if there's some trades. We'll be back in a couple weeks to talk some more Flames hockey. Flames fans, enjoy your summer. And Kyle, I hope that you are relaxing and enjoying your summer.
Trying to. Busiest time of year for me, but I enjoy it. So trying to get to the beach here and there if it would stop friggin' raining. It looks like the sun's out now, so I'm going to go see it while I can.
All right, Flames fans, have a good couple weeks, and we'll be back to talk more Flames hockey later on in July. Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter @FlameUnfiltered. Check out the Facebook page @FlamesUnfiltered.
Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
We've got a playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.